And I greet each and every one of you, those at home, those here, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to be here, and at the same time, it's kind of weird to be here. This is the first time I've been here this week of the year in a long time. Usually I'm at camp and I'm helping out with everything going on there, and this year's a little different. If I would have went to camp, I probably wouldn't have been physically at work for about a month, because the city has a policy that when you go out of state and you come back, you got to quarantine still at your house for 10 days. So I kind of did all the math, and we traveled to Sacramento, my family and I, and it was to attend the memorial service for our grandma Finch and Margaret. And I am thankful that we had the opportunity to do that, but in doing so, there's the other situations I have to attend to and my responsibilities in life, and I'm sure I'll be there next year, but at the same time, it just is kind of odd being here. But, you know, the Lord still has work for me to do. Usually, typically, this Sunday morning, Adam and I would be doing the sacrament service at camp and greeting the kids, and they're in the middle of it right now, and probably having, oh, they're past dinner at this point. So, yeah, they're going at it now. And the one thing I probably won't miss is the lack of sleep that comes with all that. So it's really quiet at my house right now. So we're getting a lot of work done. And it's kind of interesting. You know, you think you're going to have a relaxing time, but we've been going crazy and painting Connor and Eric's bedroom. And boy, it's been quite the tall order. But I am thankful to be here, and I appreciated that opening song, and it kind of relates to one of the five senses that I'm going to be talking about this morning. I kind of came to this sermon in a way that I always set myself apart from everything that's going on, and I do that a lot by getting on my bike and going out and riding my bike. And it's been really hot, and it's been really a challenge to get on the bike and go. So I kind of invested in a couple lights to be able to do it at night when it's cooler out. And last night it was very kind of nice out, a lot cooler than it typically is here. And I had an opportunity to go out and to think about things. And the Lord has put this on my heart. And I've been thinking about this for a while too, because it's interesting when you get out in the middle of the desert by yourself on a bike. And I started with one headlight on my bike, and it's really bright, and it leads the way. It lights the path. And as much as I was doing that, you know, it has its limitations on your visibility and how far you can see ahead. And so I invested in another light. So I got these two headlights on my bike, and yeah, the path's really lit up now, and I really enjoy it. And what I do is I typically go, when it's at night, I won't go far away. I just go over, actually, it's in Erica's old neighborhood over there. I love that area. That's kind of like my backyard. And I ride the mountains back in there. The trails are really well-groomed, and I know them very well because I've ridden so many times over there, I can't even count. But that's where I was last night, and I get to sit and ponder on things. And the Lord has given me this sermon to share with you. And I wanted to start, and I wanted to read in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 15. It's the parable of the sower. I'm going to go through that and read that. And I'm really going to focus on all of our senses that the Lord has blessed us with. And, you know, it's important that we are aware of what's going on around us. And, you know, it's interesting, and I'll get into that in a little bit, of how keen your senses are in certain situations. And so just going to Matthew chapter 13, it says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside." You know, he was getting away. He was kind of going over into and doing his own thing to contemplate his thoughts, I'm sure, to visit with his father. And it says here, "And a great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." I got to make sure my mouse is in control here. "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell by stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, and some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, just like our song, Jesus is calling to you. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And Jared was actually kind of talking, touching on this in his Sunday school class today. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And so I wanted to start off with that because I really appreciate the parables and being able to get your mind thinking, get your senses going, and seeing that, you know, the Lord's reaching out to us through his senses, and we're supposed to receive those through our senses. And so one of the things that I see here is, you know, he says here that because of they see not, and they're seeing what they want to see. And, you know, it's really interesting when you're looking forward to things and you're seeing what's going on in the world and it's not really going the way that you want to see them, but the Lord sees all and he knows all and he knows what's going on and he lights the way, he shows us the way, and he's there for us and he gives us the ability to be able to be that light for his son. And it says in Matthew 5:14-15, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And in Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in Matthew 13:16, it said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. This was what he was telling to his disciples, you know, because they were really paying attention to him. They were learning. They were understanding. They were feeding, being fed by him. And, you know, he tells them that. He describes that. And that word, that lamp, is that light to our path, in our path in life. And so I wanted to show you this. This isn't from last night. This is from when I went out the first time, and I thought it was the neatest thing. I went out on my bike. There was no moon, and I actually, Erica's house is right there. So this is up. This is the 101 here. Erica's house is probably right here. Here's, I think, the street that goes to her old house. Sorry, Erica. And as you can see, this is Buffalo Ridge Park. This is Shaw Butte. And you can see the little light tower on that. And this is Lookout Mountain right here. This is Squaw Peak. This is North Mountain. And if you look here to the left of Lookout Mountain, you can actually see the lights on top of South Mountain there. And so this is kind of where I'm sharing this with you. This is like a little personal experience with me. And this is where I go to kind of visit with the Lord and to think about life and think about things and things that are going on. And I really appreciate the beauty of that. That is something where, you know, I can look out and I can see what's going on, and it really helps me be able to focus on where I'm at in life and, you know, let the Lord lead me and think about things. And as you can imagine, if I'm out on my bike and I'm on top of this mountain, you know, this could be a dangerous situation, right? Well, you know, I wanted to show you guys. So this is a picture from my bike. And as you can see, I have this actually on a low, it's on dim right now. So it's 2400 lumens. And I multiply that by two because I just bought another light and went out last night. So it's really bright. But as you can see, you know, as I'm looking out, you know, you go from completely pitch black in front of you. And if I was just riding this bike down the trail, you know, look at, it's pretty treacherous there about 10 feet in front of me. You know, I basically go off the side of this mountain to my, to perish and, well, get severely hurt probably. I wear a helmet and all the protective gear and stuff, but I really, you know, use caution and I'm aware of my surroundings, very familiar with these trails. And, again, I just really appreciate the fact that, you know, the Lord gives us his word as a lamp to our feet, you know, such as this light is to me. I couldn't do this activity if it wasn't for this light. And to be honest with you, I don't think that I could have done or can do a lot of things in life if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for his son and what he does for us in our lives. And just like, you know, being that beacon, being that light on a hill, we see those lights far out there off in the distance, you know, and I think about those things and I was contemplating that, you know, are these other individuals on their own little islands in this world in which we live trying to be a light for Christ? And as you look down and you see all the city lights, this is humanity. This is the culture. This is society. These are all the things, the principalities and the powers that we fight against, you know. It's kind of an interesting moment. And again, I just appreciate how God helps us be able to put things in perspective and where we're at and where we can be, where we can go, where he can take us. And, you know, it's with him that we can go places, that we can see things, that we can be a part of things, that we can touch things, that we hear things, that we taste and smell things. And I just think about, you know, the gift of life that God gives his children and the time that we have here in this day of probation and how our senses should be keen to how the Lord is working in our lives. And so I wanted to start off, and this is all going to lead to something hopefully you find amusing. We actually, it's related to my Sunday school class, and we did this kind of activity. I'm not going to spoil it now, but we all really enjoyed it. So we're going to start off with touch, and this is probably going to be a pretty short sermon too. So in Matthew chapter 8, says verse 14 through 17, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. He spoke it, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken in Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And so I see here that touch, that ability that Christ has. And, you know, it's not just a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing, too. It's something that I believe and I see and I've witnessed Christ reaching out and touching people's lives. You know, it's not a physical thing all the time. It could be. Boy, what a blessing that would be. You know, some of us have experienced that. But this touch that comes from Christ that has an impression on us, that changes us, those things are the things, that's the sense that we need to understand that is there, that is with us, that is among us, that we feel from God. And in Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to read two verses there. It says here, verses 20 and 21, and behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And this This woman had this infirmity for 12 years. Could have been a cancer. It was an issue with her blood. I'm not sure. Could have been diabetes, something of that nature. Gone. And it was because she reached out to Christ. She reached out and had that faith that was so strong that he felt it and he knew it and he blessed her. And that's what we need to do in our lives. We need to reach out. We need to constantly be counseling, seeking counsel from the Lord and consulting him and seeking his advice, getting discernment from him to help us be able to make decisions that are good for our spiritual welfare, for that path that we're walking down. The next one is taste. It says here in Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And in Psalms 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I appreciate this because, O taste and see. You know, one of the things that I really miss and that I always appreciated was going to Costco and getting free samples. It was something that I really enjoyed. I didn't even have to eat lunch. I just go to Costco and I eat for free. And that doesn't happen anymore. And I'm disappointed. But one thing I do know is that if we taste of that goodness that the Lord gives us, it's something that'll feed us throughout all eternity. It is something that'll nurture us. It'll give us the nourishment that we need, the strength, the ability to continue, the ability to climb mountains, to cross wildernesses, to swim across oceans. And all of that is in a spiritual sense. It's something that the Lord tells us that, you know, just try, just take a little taste. If you do this, you will see the goodness that comes from that. And that brought me to Alma chapter 16. And I just want to read a few verses there. 170 through 173, but you can read quite a few verses before that, and it'll lead up to this. And this is kind of the point I wanted to make with this. It says, but if you will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow. This is, you know, trying, you know, that seed is planted in you and it has grown. By your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof. You know, this is something that's going to be good that comes from it. Just like in Lehi's vision that we were talking about this morning, there's something good of that fruit. It shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up to everlasting life. And because of your diligence, which is important, you know, just like when I go out on my mountain bike and I ride my mountain bike, I got to be, if I want to get to the top of that mountain, I have to be diligent in doing so. There's, you know, no way around about it. I got to put the work into it. And with that work comes a reward. And your faith and your patience with the word, and nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by you shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith, and your diligence and patience and long suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. You know, I think about those things, and there's a lot of things to take part in. And just like, you know, when I go through, when Costco was giving out free samples and stuff, when we go through Costco, you know, some of those samples we don't like, you know, and there's a lot of things that are in our world that unfortunately we take part of, that we don't like. It doesn't taste well. It doesn't bode well. And it puts a foul taste in our mouth. And, you know, I added this into here. It was just, I wish I had the pictures, because it was just like, you know, Jared, your son with Titus, you know, taking a bite of that lemon, you know, life has situations that we get in, you know, and kind of like life is a lemon sometimes, but when you're given a bunch of lemons, you know, you make lemonade. But, you know, there's things in life that we partake of, that we taste of, and it's not good. But these things that are given to us of God, of this tree of life that he has, that we can if we diligently seek after him, we can take part of that and be fed and no longer thirst, no longer hunger. You know, we're satisfied. And that's one of those things that really, you know, the experience of being completely satisfied, it's one of those things that are hard to explain. But when we do experience it, how much joy we feel in those moments. You know, I'm completely satisfied. And you know, it's hard to come by that in life. It's very difficult to come by that. But we can come by that through God. And if we are with him, and if we walk with him, and if we follow after him, he will give us that satisfaction that we need. We'll be able to go through life and understand that those things that are out there that are tempting us, you know, they don't appeal to our senses. It's God, it's Christ, it's his work, it's his love. Those are the things that appeal to our senses. And so this next one, smell, was a little bit difficult. You know, and I had a little bit of a hard time with this, but I found a couple things and I wanted to talk about a couple things. Smell, Ephesians 5:2, but ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in his love. You know, let his light light up your path. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savior. But fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And here, in as Paul's writing to the Ephesians, I can see in my mind another verse, verse 5 or whatever I would plug in there is read in between the line is because verses 3 and 4 really stink. You know, these things in life really stink. They're going to cause a lot of problems. You're not going to enjoy them. They're going to be wretched. They're going to make you miserable. And so, you know, this here, one of the things that we need to understand is that all these things that Christ was the sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savior. He was the atonement and the offering to God the Father for all these stinky things that we're going to do in life. All these things that are an abomination to God, Christ made an atonement for that. We have an avenue. We have the ability to be able to ask God for forgiveness through his son because of his son's sacrifice that was a sweet-smelling savior. And we know in the Old Testament, in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, you know, the Jews, you know, they would trespass, they would sin, they would do all these things. They had burnt offerings that they would present to God. And, you know, the priests, they had the altar and they had to keep the fire burning forever. You know, that was their job. And in Leviticus chapter 6, I want to read verses 8 through 15. And it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offerings. It is the burnt offerings because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And this is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord, before the altar. And he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering and the oil thereof and the frankincense, which is upon the meat offering, and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet smelling savior, even the memorial of it unto the Lord. So these things that they had to do, they were commanded to do this. This was the process then. And we know that when Christ came, that the school law was laid aside and he replaced that. And we have the ability to kind of fulfill what they were commanded to do in a way through Christ. And because he made that atonement, it's a way for us to reconcile those sins that we've committed in our life, the traveling of down the wrong path in our life. And we know that Christ was the atonement for us. Oh, shoot. I didn't want to go that. I jumped ahead. But that atonement is important for us. So in Webster's 1828, it's an agreement. It's a concord, a reconciliation after enmity or controversy. And there's a reference to 5:11 in there from Romans. And it's also a satisfaction or reparation made by giving an equivalent for an injury or by doing or suffering that which is received in satisfaction for an offense or injury with for. And so, you know, these things that we offend God with in our lives, we have Christ there to be able to forgive us for those things that we've done, that we've gone astray with, that we've lost a sense of direction with, that we didn't listen to him in regards to whatever in our lives, that we put up the wall, that we didn't open our hearts, that we didn't open our mind, that we didn't see what God was trying to lead us to do, that we didn't see the works of Christ in our life and how he was trying to reach out to us and touch us. You know, all these things, all these senses. And I jumped forward a little bit too fast, but, you know, all these things, you know, this is my Sunday school class. This was a couple weeks ago. This was the first time that we actually got to come together and to meet. And so everybody had a little bit of a task. And you could probably see that large white thing on the counter there. That is something that, you know, I really, here, I'll do a bigger picture of that. That there is, I'm claiming it. It is the Church of Christ record-breaking breakfast burrito. So it's for Sunday school. So we had a challenge and everybody was assigned a task and it was to take part to help create this. And we wanted to make this big, we put together this breakfast burrito and it was a very fun experience and everyone in there enjoyed it. And one of the messages was that, you know, through all these things that we do in life, if we come together and we participate and we do so in a loving manner as the children of God, we'll always see rewards come from that. And that's one of the things I wanted to share with them was that not only do we see the rewards that come from that, but we also get to partake in those rewards and we get to share those things together as well. And, you know, this was a pretty big meal and Isaac and Trish and myself. So I think that was 11 people that actually it fed and we had leftovers too, but it was delicious. It was really fun that the young adults really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it and it was amusing. And, you know, it's one of those things that it was a challenge for us in a way too. You know, we needed to rely upon each other to be able to come together to make this happen. Just like the body of Christ, it takes all of us with all the talents and with the things that the Lord blesses us with to come together and to make this body of Christ. And I tell them, you know, the Sunday school kids that, you know, we're always going to have challenges in life. But be reassured that, you know, you see the class here, you see all of us together, you know, be reassured that not only do you have your brothers and sisters in the gospel there for you, but, you know, you have Christ there with you. And I look over here and I don't know what this light is over here, but I really, you know, I was looking at this picture and I really appreciate that because it's just, you know, if you go to Isaac and Trisha's house, you know, that's kind of like where the piano is and there's really nothing over there. So something happened. And I just, you know, thinking about it and relating to it, You know, it's kind of like, is that the light of Christ there in the background with all the kids? It's just something neat. Probably not. Probably my thumb reflecting the sun onto the cat. I don't know. But, you know, I tell them in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake. You know, these young adults, they're at camp now, the majority of them. Allie's the only one here. And not singling you out, Allie, but just making an observation. But, you know, all of these young adults have challenges that they're going to go through in their life. And that's one of the things I want them to understand, that, you know, be keen to your senses on what's going on around you in this world. You know, not just in this city, not just in this state, but in the world, you know, what's going on with the nation of Israel, you know, all the challenges that they're going through right now. There's some big changes going on that side of the world. And we need to be aware of that, because all of that ties together with who we are at the same time. You know, just be aware of these things. And again, there was that. It was a potato, egg, cheese, chorizo, bacon, sausage, sour cream, cheese, and a bunch of other stuff. It was really good. So, you know, all these things, all of our senses should be applicable to our actions. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16, for it is God which worketh in you both to do will, to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And, you know, this outlook that we have, 2 Nephi chapter 13, wherefore you must press forward with the steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And so, you know, just like with life and the ability for us to take action, to understand how the Lord is working with us, utilizing our senses, seeking counsel from the Lord, all these things can help us be able to have a keener sense of what's going on, but more importantly, of how we act as those things are going on, how we're walking in this life, how we're seeing that path that God's leading in front of us. I appreciate the ability to do the things that God gives me to do, especially mountain biking. That's like my utmost favorite thing to do. It's difficult, but you know, with the diligence that goes into things that we love to do, there's rewards that come with it. There's rewards that come with putting our efforts into the church and into the work of the gospel, and in putting our efforts into building that relationship with Christ. And that's my desire. That's my message for the day. And may God bless each and every one of you, and that you would be keen to your senses and see where God will take you in your life. Thank you.